In the early 1970s, John Mendelsohn wrote for Rolling Stone and the Los Angeles Times, and recorded for Warner Brothers Records as a member of the band Christopher Milk. Mendelsohn has just released a new CD called Sorry We're Open. He spoke with Ann Strangchamps.
Early on, I made the decision that I would try to be the Pete Townsend of rock criticism. Pete Townsend doesn't really play the guitar very well, but, you know, you can't take your eyes off of him. And he's a fantastic showman. In a great many cases where I had to write about something that I didn't really have any strong feelings about one way or the other, I thought that it was just going to be boring if I was sober and responsible. So in many cases, I pretended to be a lot more passionate. Well, not passionate, but I put on a lot more vitriol than I was necessarily the case. I just thought it was a lot less boring, you know, that I would kind of put on a show of my own.
Mm. What's the harshest review you ever wrote?
When I was writing for Cream in the mid-80s, I thought of it as my personal mission in life to try to wipe hair metal off the face of the earth. They weren't really reviews, but I would often write at great length about groups like Motley Crue, whom I detested passionately. As far as reviews, I made a brief comeback in Rolling Stone at the beginning of the 90s, and I was given an album by a group called Warrant to review, and I did my best to try to end their career, but I don't think it worked.
Now, during the 1970s, you were also performing in a band called Christopher Milk. Were you also writing rock criticism right then? I mean, how did it work, trying to balance both making music and criticizing other people's music?
It didn't work very well, Anne. When I look back at it, I'm just flabbergasted by my audacity. I would write a scathing review of somebody one week in the LA Times, and then 2 weeks later, we'd be opening for that person. So it made for some extremely uncomfortable moments.
I can imagine. I mean, did you ever feel physically threatened?
I felt that there were clubs I needed to get out of fairly promptly. I mean, it never came to somebody standing in front of me and saying, I'm going to kill you, although if looks could kill, I would have been dead.
And what about other critics? Once you had slammed other groups, they must have felt perhaps that Turnabout was fair play. I mean, I know you wrote for Rolling Stone, and Rolling Stone, on the other hand, once wrote that you sounded like Todd Rundgren with severely inadequate equipment.
Well, that was paraphrased. He said I sounded like Todd Rundgren on a reduced budget or something. No, that was a fairly good one. He was pretty nice. When Christopher Milk's album came out, it got murdered. So that it was definitely true that other critics resented me.
So what was that like to be on the receiving end of bad criticism?
It was awful, but I had always felt that in a way, I don't know, I felt a little bit of pride in myself that I was putting myself out there and I was putting myself in harm's way, whereas most people are just anonymous and they're behind their desk. And I felt that that was sort of distasteful. I feel that anyone who writes about other people should have the courage to face an audience himself.
Did it make it a little easier to handle being criticized for your music since you were already a critic? I'm wondering whether, you know, in a way you regarded the criticism as a kind of artistic performance also, and so maybe it made it easier not to take it too seriously when other people criticized you.
Oh, no. My psychological makeup is such that if anybody looks at me sideways, I'm devastated. So it didn't make it easier at all.
So you were really laying yourself open for...
Yeah, it was utter lunacy.
Now, you've also been criticized for your criticism. You lived here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I live, for some months a few years ago. And while you were here, I know you wrote a few pieces, including an article about your impressions of the local music scene. What kind of response did you get to that piece?
Well, as I later wrote, I found that the incidence of idiocy in Wisconsin was shockingly high, and all these people who hadn't really read very carefully got outraged that this newcomer who had dared to write for Rolling Stone would dare to say anything other than glowingly positive things about absolutely every group in Madison. Well, I've made the point before, there's a lot of crap in Madison. There's also a lot of crap in London and New York and Los Angeles. I mean, to think that any locale produces nothing but terrific music or art or literature or anything is just mind-boggling. And I encountered a lot of parochialism there.
You've just released a new album called Sorry We're Open. So I guess you haven't given up your dream of becoming a rock star.
Well, I've given up my dream of becoming a rock star, the dream of composing and arranging and performing music that will enhance at least a few people's lives remains alive and will continue to.
I'm curious about one song on the new CD. It's called Dancing About Architecture. And I was wondering, there's a famous saying, writing about music is like dancing about architecture. It's been attributed to Miles Davis and Elvis Costello and probably some other people. But I wonder, is that song inspired by that saying?
Well, I was aware of that observation, which I think is the pinnacle of inanity. I had written a song involving an architect, so just whimsically, I chose that title for it.
She's waltzing with architect. His eyes are blue, his beard is flecked with gray. She means no disrespect, insane fatigue has claimed her. But no, he says, the orchestra has just warmed up. Adjust your bra and lovely gown.
Where did the title for the album come from? Sorry, We're Open.
That idea occurred to me, and it was very amusing to me. It was like a sign that you would see in a shop run by people with self-esteem issues.
Do you have a particularly favorite song on the album?
I like My Country Tortured. I'm very proud of that. I like to imagine that it's one of the most eloquent denunciations of that practice that has been set to music.
Babylon, we've had our way so long. We're never wrong, or might makes right. The planet's hell is minor while our wealth is major, let's retain perspective here. Country tortured, and I'm overcome with shame.
The whole problem I have with that idea of writing about music is like dancing about architecture, which I find deeply annoying, is writing is virtually synonymous with thinking or talking. And who doesn't think about the music he or she likes? Who doesn't talk comparatively? I mean, if it was, in fact, Miles Davis who coined the phrase, are we supposed to believe that he and other musicians wouldn't sit around and talk about the music that they admired or other artists that they didn't think were so hot? I think that's highly unlikely. It might seem like an extension of myself as a critic to be commenting on the current state of affairs in America, but that's all criticism is sort of writing down your thoughts anyway.
Very often, people talk about criticism and creative work as two different poles, two different types of thought. You know, people even say to be creative, you have to turn off your inner critic, as though these two things are mutually exclusive. I'm wondering what you think.
Well, I definitely think that's true. I mean, in terms of writing, it's impossible to do if you've got your inner critic turned on.
But then how does that work for you, since you've spent such a long time being very critical of other people's music? Is it hard to turn off that inner critic when you get to writing your own music?
The act of creation is much more visceral. If I sit down at the keyboard and I find a melody that I like, I'm not really hearing anything other than my own pleasure. You know, it just feels right to me. Songs evolve. When you make a record, the process of going from having sat down at the keyboard and found a melody you like to having a finished product is a very, very long one and a very multifaceted one. And certainly there are points in that process where I kind of am trying to think in terms of how something is going to be heard. But mostly I'm trying to please myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel strongly that music, or really any other art that isn't made to please yourself, is probably not going to be very good.
John Mendelsohn is a singer-songwriter and a music critic. His new album is called Sorry, We're Open.